Luke 3, verses 15 through 20. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut up John in prison. So far, God's word. So John has been, if you remember all the way back to verse 3, preaching a baptism of repentance. He was baptizing with water, and as he baptized with water, those who were receiving it were accepting the message that they had to turn from their sins, that they were guilty before God, that they needed forgiveness for their guilt, that they needed cleansing from their sin. And as he was preaching as a prophet this and baptizing this baptism of repentance, there were these people. The people were in expectation, verse 15, wondering whether he's the Christ. As he baptizes for repentance, is he the promised one? And John says, actually, there's one who is more mighty than I am who is coming. In fact, he is so much more mighty that I'm not worthy to be his slave. That's what he's saying when he says, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. He says, I'm not worthy to be his slave. So as John is pouring out water, and it is pouring, right, because he says, what I am doing with the water, Jesus is going to come and do with the Holy Spirit. And we know for a fact what Jesus did with the Holy Spirit. So we can deduce that John is pouring water, and he's pouring the water, he's saying, you need to repent. But what Jesus will pour is actually that which enables us to repent. He who enables us, him who enables us to repent, the Holy Spirit. And so that, of course, is infinitely better. It's kind of like the difference between the law and the gospel. The law can tell us that we are guilty and what we ought to do, but only the gospel, by uniting us to Jesus through believing in him, can actually take our guilt away, and by our being united to Christ, the Lord works his power in us to enable us to repent. The law doesn't enable you to repent at all. So there's a similar parallel here. The baptism of John could declare things about them, but it couldn't do anything in them. But when Jesus pours his Holy Spirit upon us, we are enabled to believe and so be forgiven. Now, we're only made right with God, we're only forgiven for our sin by what Jesus has done. But the repentance that John says, that John has been preaching to them, happens in 100% of the cases of those who believe. John is preaching repentance, and he says Jesus is going to produce repentance, and he divides all of humanity into two groups. Those who in the picture that he uses here are referred to as the wheat, and those who in the picture that he uses here are referred to as the chaff. And there are only those who turn from their sin and believe in Jesus, and those who do not turn from their sin. There's no such thing as someone who believes in Jesus but doesn't turn from his sin. So repentance is critically important. Without it, you cannot be saved. It doesn't save you. It is a saving grace. It is part of the grace that God gives you in salvation. It doesn't make you right with God. It doesn't earn your forgiveness. Only what Jesus has done makes you right with God. Only what Jesus has done takes away the guilt of your sin. But without repentance, you can be sure that you have never been made right with God, that you don't have Jesus, that you don't have faith. and that you are chaff that will be burned with the unquenchable fire, that will be cast into the lake of fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. And so each of us should value that repentance that Jesus gives by his Holy Spirit as something without which we cannot be saved, and something that we must have if we are being saved. Now, do not expect that people will like it if you tell them that. They may do things like call you a legalist or tell you that you don't understand grace. They did that to the Apostle Paul too. You can read that. You can read about that in Romans 6 and in Galatians and other places. And preachers who preach to everyone what they need to repent of can expect that when they end up touching on a particular person's sins, that person will either be one whom the Lord Jesus has given his Holy Spirit, or that person will turn on him. So when he rebuked Herod, not just for Herodias, but for all the evils which he had done, Herod put him in prison. And so we should expect that our flesh will not want to be told to repent, that we will respond like Herod responded when the scriptures come and tell us to repent. How can we respond otherwise? Only by the mercy and power of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus gives. He is a complete Savior. He not only has obeyed in our place and given himself as a sacrifice for our forgiveness, he also pours out his Spirit on us and joins us to himself and works out his life in us and gives us repentance, so that we will not respond as Herod did when the scripture comes along and accuses us for all of our evils, but we will trust in Jesus and turn from our sins. So it's very important as we read the Bible and listen to it, whether you're having your private worship or these times of family worship, especially in the corporate worship service, because I can't stop during the corporate worship service like I sometimes do and call your attention the way we do here, that we look to Christ for the ministry of his Spirit to produce in us that soft heart that will not refuse him, but will turn from our sin as a grace that he gives us. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you, for you are infinitely mightier than John. We too are not worthy to be your slaves and have no power in us to produce repentance. So we ask that you would give us your Spirit, just as the scripture says you do, and that you would enable us by your life in us, by your power for us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit to turn from our sin. Help us, Lord, to be glad to serve you, to be glad to serve others, to have this humility that the baptizer had, and that we would rejoice that we are not great, that you alone are great. We thank you for giving us this portion of your word. We pray that you would help it to stick in our minds and our hearts, so that when we come to hear it read in the public worship on the Lord's Day, you would bring back to mind, and your Spirit would make us to meditate upon what is being said, so that we would believe you and respond to you. Do all these things for us, we ask, in your name, our Lord Jesus, your people, your say. Amen.